Welcome to Glimpses of Calvary, and thank you for joining us. Glimpses of Calvary is a ministry of Calvary Baptist Church in Canyon City, Colorado. Join us now as our pastor, John McDonald, opens the Word of God to us.
Mark chapter 7. How many of you have animals? Dogs, cats, kids? If you want to know where your dog is, eat a piece of cheese. The wrapper on the cheese. You know what I'm talking about? They hear the wrapper and they come running. They sit there and look at you. My mother had a dog by the name of Mia. Mia is a little dachshund. And when Mom first got her, she was black. And now she's like a gray ghost. She's probably 15 years old. She's just a little thing. And her face is white. And she's got these black eyes. And when you look her straight in the face, it looks like a human skull staring back at you. And she's getting up there in years. And she just, I don't know what it is. She'll sit there and just stare at you for hours. And she won't move. And you'll look at her and she's looking at you. And you'll think, okay, I'm not going to pay attention to this. Maybe she'll go away. 5 minutes later, you look on there and she's looking at you. I don't know if that's it or not. I think she wants cheese or something. And Gracie's just as bad. She'll hang around the table. We've kind of had to train them. I don't even want them looking at me when I'm eating. You know, I just makes me feel bad, just a little bit. But there's a story here in Mark chapter 7 that Jesus brings up the subject of dogs under a table. Dogs under a table. And he brings it up in the context of a conversation with a woman. How do you feel about that? In our politically charged atmosphere, this wouldn't go over very well at the conversation around the water cooler at the job. Well, I'm going to tell you why not here in just a few minutes, and why it shouldn't be a problem and why it wasn't a problem for this woman. And today I want us to take a look at a subject that I've entitled Crumbs from His Table. Crumbs from His Table. And let's read, beginning in verse 24. Of course, we know that, and from thence he arose. From what? From his conversation with the religious leaders of his day about the heart of the issue, which is the issue of the heart. The problem of the heart is the heart of the problem. The problem is our heart. It's not what we put in our bodies. You don't go to the cardiologist to have him check up on your problem with, say, materialism. The cardiologist doesn't have anything. If you're materialistic, the problem isn't the muscle that pumps blood through your body. Your problem is much deeper than that. And that's what Jesus addresses with these religious leaders. And by the way, they really should have known better. They had co-opted the program that God had established to reveal himself to his people. They'd co-opted that, and instead of it being about God, it became about them. And by the way, that happens in Baptist churches too. And so Jesus addresses this crowd, and it's the first time, at least recorded, that Jesus confronts and literally rebukes the religious leaders of his day. And so following this confrontation, it says, and from thence, that confrontation with the religious leaders, he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into an house, look at this, and would have no man know it. And so he secreted himself away from not just, I think, specifically the crowd, but from these religious leaders. He's stirred up a hornet's nest. And I think his intention is to sort of kind of let that die down a little bit. Why? Because it is not yet time for him to go to the cross. And so he's secreted himself away, and it says that he's entered into a house and would have no man know it, but look at this, but he could not be hid. The Bible tells me that if you look for him, you will find him. And so, I mean, you can, he can have, and by the way, God is hid from those who will not find him. If today you leave, I didn't get anything out of that, well, whose fault is it? It might be your fault. There's no such thing as boring sermons. They're just bored Christians. So, I mean, if it's being preached from the book, you can get something out of it. Yeah, I mean, you have to work a little harder sometimes than at others. But really, back to the previous message, a lot of times the problem is not the preacher, it's the heart of the listener. And it says that he could not be hid, for a certain woman who would not be denied an audience with Christ found him. Whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Gentile, a Syrian, or a Canaanite, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. Are you rankled by now? Let's just imagine Jesus in our culture today. Some woman comes to him with a request, and he says, Israel first, you the dogs second. And she answered and said to him, yes, Lord. Yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, and the devil has gone out of thy house. The devil has gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. Go to Matthew 15. I want to look at Matthew's account of the same event. Verse 21, Matthew 15. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him. She came shrieking. This is a woman who from the top of her head to the bottom of her toes is broken up about what is going on with her daughter. And the Greek tense is that she shrieks continuously. She is overcome. saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David." She says this repeatedly. Unabated. And there is no stopping her. "My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." But he answered her not a word. Does that sound like Jesus to you? He ignored her. That's what the Bible says. Do you ever feel like the Lord's not answering you? So you're not the last person, nor are you the first person who feels like that. Here's a woman who's come to him shrieking, Jesus, the Son of God, who by nature of who he is and why he's on the earth has come to wrestle souls from the grip of sin and from Satan, has a perfect opportunity to deliver a child from a demon who has possessed her, and she comes and makes a request and he doesn't answer her. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away." Boy, this isn't looking very good, is it? "For she crieth after us." The idea is she's embarrassing us. Well, of course, in the Mark passage, we know that his purpose was to hide himself. This isn't helping. "But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me." Sort of an at the end of my rope statement. Lord, help me. "But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith." That phrase is not in the Mark passage, but it is here in the Matthew, and you'll need to take note of that here in a few minutes. "Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole that very hour. Do you ever have a problem that you didn't think there was ever going to be a solution to? Do you have a need? I need help, and there isn't any. And you're sort of kind of at, you're dialing the number of your last resort. That's where she is. In the midst of our problems, we need help. You need someone who can solve a problem. And perhaps maybe you even need God to do a work in your life. You don't need him to take care of every problem, but you need him to take care of that problem. You don't need him to climb every mountain. You just need him to climb the highest mountain. And that's the situation. Jesus is approached by a mother who has a desperate situation. She needs something in her life. And she comes to the Lord. And as she does, she's not asking for the whole meal. She's just asking for a few crumbs from his table. Jesus just told the Pharisees, the scribes, his disciples, and the multitudes that nothing in and of itself is unclean. He told them that defilement is from within. His message being very simple, what a man is in his heart is what he really is. And as soon as the encounter is over, Jesus and his men go to Tyre and Sidon, which is in the heart of Gentile territory, and again, trying to get some rest from the pressure of ministry, specifically from the raised ire of the religious leaders. And we're told in verse 24 that he cannot be hid. This mother locates, this burdened mother locates Jesus. She begins to petition him for help, and she is presented with several challenges. As if a demon-possessed daughter isn't enough, now she's got more to deal with. So let's consider her request. The reason that she has come is that she's concerned about her daughter. Now, she has a daughter who was possessed by a demon. I've seen one of those children at Walmart. I've seen them. Now, I'm being facetious there, but have you seen a child who's not had control of themselves and who lives in an environment where there is no control? Now, you multiply that times about 100, and this is what this woman is living with. I would suspect that the child is probably violent. I would suspect that the child is probably full of anger. I would suspect that this woman bears on her body the marks, the wounds that her child has inflicted on her as the mother has tried to get control of her daughter. The Bible tells us in Matthew 15:23 that she cried after Jesus. The word is to shout after another. The idea is a loud, persistent shrieking. She is shouting to Jesus, being heartbroken over the condition of her child, and she is determined to find a solution to the problem. And the reason she calls to Jesus is because she's heard some things about it. The Bible tells us that she heard of him. Perhaps she'd heard about how Jesus had healed all manner of diseases. Maybe the story of Jesus healing the maniac of Gadara, who was possessed of many demons, could perhaps take care of one more. And she's come to Jesus because faith and hope has aroused her to come. She needed something the world couldn't provide. She was looking for something that her dead religion had been powerless to give her. She needed something that her own self-effort could not produce. She was desperate, and Jesus was her only hope. Now let me tell you, that's a good place to be. It's a good place to be. Now, in verse 27, Jesus said unto her, "Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs." So she answered and said, "Yes, Lord." So right off the bat, there's something I notice about this woman. She's not going to be denied. Now, at this point, some Christians would have already joined another church. Can you believe what that preacher said to me? Well, we're just going to go somewhere else. I'm offended. Not this woman. She's at the end of her rope. There is no other church. She can't go anywhere. You know how it used to be? The church was in the middle of a town and the next church was 150 miles away and you could get there on horseback. That's how it used to be. And so what did you have to do? You had to sit there and solve the problem. Right? Well, now I hear people, my church is the website on the internet over there. There are too many options. This woman doesn't have any other options. And by the way, you just think there are other options, but there aren't any other options than Jesus. There are no other options other than where God wants you. There are no other options. There's no other choices. We love the fact, you know, under this great capitalist system that we're in, that we have all kinds of choices. And in that context, it's wonderful. But in the context of spiritual things, there are no other choices. I am the way. People take great offense at that. Well, who do you think you are? Well, you're going to have to ask God that question because He's the one that said it. You're going to have to take it up with Him. I'm just the messenger. Look, there's no other option than God's plan. God's plan for the evangelization of the world is the local church. That's what we ought to be pouring the majority of our resources into. I get mail every week from people that want me to be involved in this thing and that thing. And it's not connected to the local church. I'm not going to get involved in it. Will souls be saved? Yes. More than likely. Praise God for that. But the main thing ought always be the main thing. Keep it the main thing. She's out of options. The reason she's calling him or has come to him is because she's heard some things. And by the way, you know why you came to Jesus? Because you heard some things. I heard them from where? Probably from a person who had the temerity and, should I say it in the pulpit, the guts to open their mouth and testify of what Jesus had done for them. There's only one place the answer for your problem is, and that's in the person of Christ. Nowhere else. So this woman comes to Jesus for help, and she doesn't get the response that she imagines she would get. She stays after Jesus until she gets what she needs. She stays with it. And in verse 23 and following up to through verse 27, She had certainly to overcome all kinds of obstacles in order to secure her daughter's healing. It seems that she's met resistance to her request at every turn. And yet she persisted until she achieved her goal. I want to look at some of these obstacles. The obstacle of race. Look at this in verse 26. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation. By the way, let me just say this. There's only one race. There's just different shades of skin. This idea of this racial divide. Look, there's only one race. Race and this idea of a multiple races, that's all straight from the pit of hell. That's a man-made thing. So that one group of men can lift themselves up above another. But there's only one race. It's the human race. And as one old-time preacher said, the problem is not a skin problem, it's a sin problem. So she's got that obstacle. She's a Canaanite. She was a descendant from a cursed people. When Joshua led the people of Israel into Canaan, they had been commanded to totally destroy them. The only reason this woman's alive is because the people of Israel did not obey God. Now, as a nation, they don't even exist today. There's no Canaanite nation. She's a member of a doomed race. And she's from a region known for their vile, godless, pagan religious practices. One of them would be the offering of their children on a fire to their god Molech. Now you talk to the average person, oh, how terrible that is. Well, that's what abortion is. It's not a fire, but it's no better. The obstacle of not only race, but religion. How, she says, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. And he answered her not a word. This Gentile woman cannot come to Christ through the Israeli nation. It is not her place. She cannot relate to Jesus in this way. She's a Gentile mother crying out to the Jewish Messiah. She is not permitted to come through the door of Judaism. She's a Gentile, according to Matthew 15:23. Jesus gave her the response she deserved. He answered her not a word. She's got the obstacle of rejection because her disciples said, send her away. You ever have somebody tell you, that's not going to work. Don't try that. It's bad enough when you doubt yourself. It's when your friends also doubt. So at first, Jesus just simply ignores her. It's as if he turns an indifferent ear to her cries for help. And then he tells her that his whole purpose in coming into this world was to reach the lost sheep of Israel. And then when she persists, Jesus tells her that she is a dog and does not deserve the children's bread. This was the Jewish word that was used for the Gentiles. And the word dog here is like a cur, mangy, mongrel dog. The kind that you'd find out on the street. But then she, in response to this, uses a different word for dog and a different word for children. The children word that Jesus uses is the idea of a child born of its mother. The word that she uses is much more general. This would be children in the sense of a household that would include servants. In other words, a master would often treat a servant as one of their family, though not born. Are you getting the picture? This woman's theology is pretty solid. It's impressive. It really is. You see, because in spite of the obstacles, she sees an opportunity. And by the way, this is what Jesus is trying to nurture in her. He's helping to cultivate her faith. He's trying to see just what is it going to take. She, in speaking to Jesus and him speaking to her, he doesn't slam the door in her face. He says, let the children first be filled. Now, what that means is that if there's firsts, there's seconds. You know, in my opinion, spaghetti is always better on the second day. In my opinion. After it kind of sits there, and I like to get sausage, Italian sausage, let it marinate in the sauce for a day. And I've lost 3/4 of the audience here. You're thinking about the food after the sermon. Come back from the Italian restaurant. Stay out of that Italian place. Don't go there. Stay here. You see, these obstacles that were thrown up by Christ were not placed there to discourage and defeat her. They were put there to mature her faith. And it shouldn't be surprising to see the gracious delivering power of Jesus excluded or extended to the Gentiles, because in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 23, it says, and in you, speaking of Abraham, the families of the earth will be blessed. That's spiritual blessing. You and I, if you are a Gentile, are spiritual children of Abraham, through Abraham. Everything about my faith is Jewish but me. And if the Pharisees and the scribes were put off by Jesus eliminating the distinction between clean and unclean foods with all of their detailed ceremonies and regulations, imagine their disdain at seeing Jesus reach out to the Gentile woman and includes her. She calls on Jesus based on his role as the Jewish Messiah. She doesn't get any help there because she's not Jewish. She hears Jesus tell her that his mission here on earth is to the nation of Israel. And when she hears this, she moves beyond seeing him as Messiah and then says, Lord! Which, by the way, is where some of those Pharisees never got. Which is what God intended them to get to because they were Jews. The Bible tells us that in Matthew 15, 25, that she bowed down to him, humbles herself at his feet. And the Bible says she worshiped him. The word dog that is used in verse 28, yet the dogs under the table is the idea of the family pet. Not the mangy cur out on the street, the flea-bitten, mangy, nasty, running through the trash. No, she says the family pet. At least gets crumbs from the master's table. She says, I'm that dog, and if I am, at least I'll get a crumb. Every now and then, mean old me will break down and give the dog something from the table. I don't do it very often. I want them to expect it. And by the way, they tell us that human food is not good for dogs. You ever seen some of those dogs at the park that look like those little stubs called legs sticking out from under them? You know what the problem there is? Table food. She says, at least, in other words, I'd rather be a dog under your table, Jesus, than a Pharisee who doesn't see him for who he is. The Pharisees won't get a meal and they won't get crumbs, but the dog will at least get some leftovers. And as I said a few sermons ago, a little bit of Jesus is a whole lot better than a whole lot of everything else. And this is where she is. Her response to Jesus, I'm taken aback by it. She didn't say, well, I'm offended by that. You have a couple come into the office and they've been living together for 6, 7 months, 8 months. And hey, we really want to do the right thing and we want to get married. And my advice to them is, okay, separate for a short time and then we'll talk about it. What do you mean? They get offended. Well, why would you do that? Well, we want to make sure their hearts are in the right place. Could I just up and marry him? I probably could do that. She doesn't get offended. She doesn't respond that way. Yes, Lord, is her response. He's still Lord. And the wit of her response. Well, even the dogs under the tables feed on the children's crumbs. That's a great response, isn't it? You're not going to get rid of me with that, Jesus. I'm not leaving with that analogy that you just used. Okay, I'm a dog, but at least the dog under the master's table gets a scrap every now and then. I'm a dog, I'll buy that. I'm a dog, I don't have the right to the covenant promises of Israel. Understand that, but I'm here. And whatever falls from the table, Lord, can I have that? Can I have that? Being the dog under the table that I am, can I at least have that? She's not offended in the least. Why? I'll tell you why. Because there was too much at stake. And the next time you get tempted to be offended at instruction that God's giving you, you need to understand something. There's too much at stake to get offended. We're talking about eternal things here. We're talking about souls, not the color of the carpet. Or the paint on the wall. We had members here one time wanted to paint the lobby a light baby blue. I just wasn't for that. I didn't, you know, that might be your color. But you know what? It doesn't really matter what the color is. What matters is the souls that walk through the door. That's what matters. And we get all bent out of shape about the dumbest things. I can't believe he didn't shake my hand. Well, did you go over there and shake his? Jesus rewarded her faith. You know, today might be the day that the Master responds. Don't stop. Today might be the day that you see the mountain moved. Today might be the day when you get saved. Today might be the day God speaks in your soul and says, you know what, it's going to be okay, I've taken care of it. Stop worrying about it. You know, a lot of times that's the main problem. We just don't believe God can take care of it. And the problem isn't that God can't take care of it. The problem is that you don't believe that He can. He's not the problem. We're the problem. It's our faith. Lack of it. You say, preacher, you don't understand my problem. You're right, but I know who does. There's a man by the name of Jairus who places his daughter in the hand of Jesus. Oh, and by the way, that daughter was dead! At least this woman's daughter's alive! What hope is there after they're dead? But he comes anyway, doesn't he? And he raises her from the dead. That's one thing to say my daughter was demon-possessed and he delivered her. It's another thing to say my daughter was dead and now she's alive. Wow! There's a man named Lazarus. Not only was he dead, but he was dead 3 days. He was in the tomb 4. And they had it right. You know, by now he stinks. Decay has set in. He stinketh. Doesn't take long. You get a dead animal in the road across from the house, you start smelling it, right? And there's 5,000 people that need a meal. There's a boy here with a lunch. What is that among so many? There's a leper. His life is ruined. Now his flesh is as smooth as a baby's skin. Chaminade doesn't have anything on that. That bag, you see, that's the new thing to get rid of the bags under your eye, put that stuff on. You know, the problem is that wears off after a while. That's why you got to keep buying it. Jesus comes along and heals this leper, and the Bible says it was as smooth as a baby. That's what the world offers, an ointment to put it on to make it look like it's fixed. But it never really fixes it. Jesus does. I think it's interesting that Jesus says something about this woman's faith. He comments on her faith. She says in Matthew that she had great faith. Did you know that Jesus only 2 times in the Bible comments on the faith of a person? 2 times. The first, or the second, the centurion. And the only 2 times in the Bible that he comments on the greatness of an individual's faith, he comments on the faith of Gentiles, not Jews. who, by the way, had seen the greatness and the marvel and the works that God would do in their midst, and they still did not believe. And those Gentiles who had not experienced all that had faith. And God says it's great faith. Remarkable is the idea there. Remarkable faith. What does God have to say about your faith? What's his commentary? Is it persistent? Is it bold? Is it reverent? Is it expectant? What did Adoniram Judson say? Attempt great things for God, expect great things from God. Maybe today you need to be saved. Maybe today you need a mountain moved. Maybe you need restoration to faith and fellowship. Maybe you need to see God working in the life of someone else. Regardless of what you need, you can come. If you seek me with all your heart, he said, you'll find me. And this woman is one of a million who have found the Jesus that she found in the pages of this book. And you can find him today if you come in faith.